When a child who cannot speak is baptized, the congregation speaks the baptismal vows on their behalf. And we use the pronoun I when doing it. Do you renounce the devil is the first question, to which the congregation says, yes, I renounce him. To some it may appear that by doing this we somehow think the faith of older Christians counts for the infant who doesn't have faith because they're not old enough. This would mean that God saves somebody without faith based on the faith of another person. Not only is this nowhere taught in Holy Scripture, but such a perception couldn't be further from the truth. When we say these vows as a congregation, and we use the word I when we answer, we are speaking with one singular voice, one mind, one confession of faith in God's holy church. We speak as one body, united together so intimately that God will say about the members of that body, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It is part and parcel of being a Christian that we confess together, that we say together in the creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We make that confession, friends, as one body, as one church purified by Christ's blood, and that's a confession that belongs to all believers, whether or not they can speak. You see, a confession isn't only about what is verbalized. Even Jesus will say, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, because God weighs the heart. Confessing Christ means having a heart of faith. Faith, a gift from God by his Holy Spirit through the spoken word, a word that is there in these waters of regeneration. And so the Christian confession very much belongs to the infant who has faith in Christ, even if we cannot see it. In these waters just now, Caitlin Raven and Everett Jack, were bathed. As the Red Sea destroyed, pursuing Egyptians hot on the heels of God's holy people, these waters of Christ drown the old Adam, presenting a new man, a new creation, joined to the life of Christ and purified before God. That is the promise. And it's a promise the baptized are to live in and trust in every day. Every day, the baptized are to repent and confess while calling to mind this glorious divine washing done by God himself. Here is the new birth until you die. Here is where Christ promises to come to you and be your continual cleansing and purification from filthy sin. That is the gift, decrees God. A gift given to the baptized. A gift bestowed upon Caitlin and Everett. But getting back to the vows for a second. We also make those vows as a Christian congregation, as the body of Christ, with the hope and the prayer that one day those vows will leave the lips of Caitlin and Everett. We pray that all who are baptized will grow and continue to renounce the devil, to confess Christ, and retain the heavenly treasures that have been given them, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful life will get for them. We pray that they never forget, and that by the grace of God, they always believe and trust in the promises of Christ given to them. Because it does happen. Not every Christian who is baptized stays that way. We all know some who were baptized, only for them to grow old, and for one reason or another, they throw away their inheritance. If being baptized into Christ grants one access into his everlasting dominion, then that means, apart from Christ, there is no other way. John 10, the gospel lesson for this morning. Jesus begins with a stark warning. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." There's one door. There's one shepherd. Thieves and robbers try to break into the kingdom. They try to get into the church through their own devices. But their intention, says Jesus, their intention is to rob, kill, and destroy. That's what the thief does. And you better bet they are circling the flock, looking for sheep to devour. One shepherd, one door. You cannot sneak your way into God's kingdom. You cannot look at the shepherd, hear his voice, see the door, and say, "But I know another way." There is none, says our Lord Jesus. There is one shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice. Caitlin and Everett today have heard the voice of their Savior. Tell them, "You belong to me. Washed and cleansed, I have sealed you in my blood. I know you by name, and you are mine." That is the voice of your shepherd. A voice that we all follow by faith in his word until we die. That is the voice that we are commanded to listen to. For remember, he is the shepherd who loves his sheep enough to lay down his life for his sheep. To die for his sheep. To wash you of your sin. To usher you into his kingdom. That is what your good shepherd does for you. Through death and resurrection, Christ brings you into his heavenly courts, where there is pasture never depleted. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That is the promise of Christ. And so we see, friends, Christ feeds and gives you all that you need, both in this life and for the life to come. But there are other voices, aren't there? There are other pastures that seem so green, so lush, so rich with nutrients. There are other pastures in life that seem worth forsaking all which Christ has done and given you. Money is green. Money provides. And money seems to be that pasture worth pursuing, even if it means neglecting Christ to make a buck. The thief and the robber will try to sneak into God's kingdom, and they will claim, "Ah, there are many doors. There are many access points into the divine realm. So if you want to be an agnostic, if you want to believe in some vague spiritual deism, some higher power, but that's as far as it goes. If you do fall for the argument that the Bible is just one of many holy books, if you do think you can tell God who he is and how he ought to save, then you are fooling yourself. And the thieves and the robbers have already deceived you." Doing these things, hearing the many voices tempting you to look for other doors, other shepherds, all of this is what Christ warns against. It's a very popular temptation, friends, to believe all spiritual roads lead to the same place. Everett will face these temptations. Caitlin will face these temptations. The church does face these temptations. The church does face the thieves and the robbers, claiming to have found another way. But their intent, says Christ, is to rob, pillage, and destroy. And so today is not just a day about these two little ones God has brought to his font to wash and cleanse them. This is a day for all Christians, all baptized believers, to remember their baptism, to think about the vows that we made on behalf of these children who cannot speak, because they are also your vows. They are the confession of all Christians. The baptized believer does renounce the devil. The baptized believer is to renounce all of his ways. The baptized believer is to speak in harmony with the body of Christ, the church that God calls his bride, purified by his shed blood. And so we do speak together, live together, suffer together, rejoice together with the hope of one day we will live together in God's everlasting presence, showered with his never-ending love in bodies that do not decay, flesh that doesn't die. Christ is your shepherd. And he is the door, he says in the text. He's not accidentally mixing metaphors, but it may remind you of who your Lord Jesus is, and that is true man who lays down his life, and true God who has atoned for sin and risen from the dead. Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the only begotten Son of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that very name put upon those washed in the waters of regeneration. Let us pray we remain in that name. Let us pray we continue living by faith in Christ, receiving his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, poured out on you generously through these waters of washing and rebirth by the Holy Spirit. And finally, I leave you with the words of St. Peter, who says, by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. These stripes Christ took as your shepherd. And so when you look to your shepherd, friends, you are seeing he who died only to bring you with him into life eternal. In faith we see Christ, and by faith we have been granted access to God's everlasting kingdom. We're there. The confession we made today will forever be on our lips before our Lord and our King. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's now rise and continue in song with the offertory.